Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. Thank you all for calling in. You are listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the women who provide resources and events and access to information regarding women in construction. Today we have a wonderful host today. Her name is Milani, and she's going to be our guest today, and she is a real woman in construction. She has written a book about women in construction. She has been in construction for a long period of time, and we're going to hear more about her story, why she chose construction, and what is it that empowers her as a woman in construction, and what advice and what information that she has to share to the rest of us as a woman in construction. Milani, are you on the line?
Hello,
Milani. Yes. Hi, good evening, Milani.
How are you? I'm well, thanks, and yourself?
I'm well. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in and agreeing to be a guest on our show. We appreciate having this conversation with us, and we appreciate you finding out more about NABWIC and becoming part of this network of women who are for women and have a desire to keep the industry going and having more of us in the industry and moving forward with it. Where are you from, Milani?
I'm originally from New York, from Long Island, Baldwin, Long Island, but I'm currently living in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. And how did you get your start in the construction industry?
Well, it's funny enough, I was actually born into it and then fell out of it. My parents are real estate investors. My father owned a small construction remodeling company when I was growing up, and I can remember going on the sites with him and cleaning up, you know, debris from the work that he was doing, helping him lay tile and watching him actually design out rooms on a piece of paper. And it wasn't a career path that anyone thought that women should take in my family. So it wasn't encouraged. But right. As I started going to school and got out into the job world, I realized that I had a knack for it. And I started out as a property manager, and the building that I was managing was going under a capital improvement plan. And I actually became the project manager for that project and realized just how much I knew without having any educational background because of what I had seen and learned from my father when I was younger.
Okay. And at that time, how many did you know of any women in the construction industry while you were working with your father?
I didn't know of any. None of the people that worked for him were women. There were no women on the job sites whatsoever. So I really didn't have anyone to go to find out more information about how women achieve in the industry. I took a leap of faith and came out to Atlanta because there was a job opportunity working in the construction field, and I was kind of taken in by a company, and they really helped develop me and pushed me to continue in this career.
So what was your educational background?
I studied pre-med and public policy at Duke University, so nothing in relation to construction at all. But I will attribute my business acumen to the degree that I have, and it was a great start. It's a great education. It made me a well-rounded person. I would have liked to go to school for engineering or construction management, and that's something that I'm considering later on.
Right. So pretty much in your network of women, you're sort of the pioneer of African American women getting into the construction industry. And it's not easy for all of us to think about getting into the construction industry without some sort of prior background in it. My story is pretty similar. My father was in the construction industry, and that opened my eyes to taking that path and choosing that path. However, a lot of us get into it for various reasons outside of a background because someone in the family was involved in it. You ended up actually getting into it because of your family. You took a completely different route when you went to school, and your mind was set on something far away from construction. Something must have happened. What opportunity opened up, and why did you decide to take that leap? Where were you currently in your life that you decide, yes, let me take that opportunity? And how did that opportunity come up?
Well, when I first started going to school, not unlike a lot of other kids, we were told to be doctors, lawyers, you know, that was a thing to do. And I went to school for pre-med. I got an internship working at Duke University Hospital in the oncology hematology department. And so I worked around a lot of cancer patients. At the time, my aunt, who actually helped raise me, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. So emotionally, I could not continue in that internship, and it really deterred me from being in medicine altogether. I didn't have the passion for it. I didn't want to go forward with it. So I decided to stick with public policy and finish out my education in public policy. Well, that led me to get a public relations internship after college with Ernst & Young, and I ended up meeting a lot of business owners, building owners, a lot of people in the industry. Ernst & Young has a lot of different avenues. They have real estate investment. They have construction investment. And I got to meet some of the people in those industries and excuse me?
No, go ahead. Your interest was beginning to spark again with the construction industry.
Exactly. So going out, being on the job sites, meeting with those people, I ended up getting a permanent job offer to manage a property. And then, like I said, they were having a capital improvement project, and I ended up being the project manager on that, and then it was kind of history after that. I knew, I had so much knowledge about construction to not have ever gone to school for construction. I knew it was just something that I was destined to do.
Right. And what is your most, if there isn't more than one, but what is one of your most memorable projects?
I think my most memorable project has to be the St. Regis Hotel and Residences here in Atlanta, Georgia. It was blood, sweat, and tears on that project, literally. And it took years to create. It was years in the making. And I remember grand opening night, me and all my guys that worked with me on the job site, we all got dressed up and went to the grand opening. We had a really good time, and that is really what construction means to me. It's the tangible manifestation of your hard work. And I can go to the St. Regis Hotel, go to that restaurant any day of the week, and know that it was my hard work that made it possible.
That's good. And you've actually written a book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's still in the editing phases. I am still interested in interviewing more women, if not for this book, for the next book that I'm writing, because even though this book is not out and published for purchase yet, I'm already thinking ahead, and this is going to be bigger than this one book. So the book is really a anthology of stories that I've taken from the women that I've interviewed. I've interviewed women in the trades. I've interviewed women engineers, architects, construction managers, roofers, electricians, plumbers, painters, and got their story about the same things that you asked me. What were they doing before construction, if there was a before construction? How did they end up going to school for construction, or what did they go to school for? And what were their experiences in the construction industry? And the stories that I've heard are so inspirational and encouraging, and it's almost any major that you could think of that people would go to school for, these women have, and it somehow correlates to what they do in their career in construction. For example, this one lady, she is an RN. We think of RNs being in hospitals or doctor's offices. Something that I didn't even know that I have to share with everyone is that on rural job sites, as a safety precaution, you have to be in a specific proximity to a hospital. And if you're not, you have to have a medical trailer on the job site. Therefore, you need RNs to carry out the prescribed orders of the doctors. Thus, there's RN construction nurses. So, I mean, and she did that for her whole career, something that we would never think. So
I would love to read your book and find out how did she even know that role existed, or how did she even get into that role? These are interesting stories. That what is the name of your book? Have you decided on a name?
Yes, the name of the book is just simply The Real Women of Construction, and that encompasses construction managers, the trades, engineering, and architecture. And it's really set out to encourage, educate, and inspire young girls and young women to consider these non-traditional alternative careers for, you know, their lifelong career journeys.
Okay, I'm really fascinated with that. And, you know, the National Association of Black Women in Construction, we're constantly looking for women to interview and see what their path is and what their network of construction is, what their knowledge of construction is. And this really goes along with what we're doing. So this is an amazing opportunity for anyone out there. I really do hope that you get it out there and publish it and allow the rest of us to get an insight into other women and spread that network. So what we want to do is always keep an open network and connect networks with networks with women in construction and have forums about it, have conversations about it. And for those who are just getting into the industry, who have no idea what the challenges are or what direction that they would like to take or what directions are available to them, these are the type of stories that we want to hear, and these are the type of stories that we want to read. So I'm really excited to hear about your approach with this book. And if there's any women out there that's listening to this interview right now, please, Maloney, if you can, give us your contact information. If you would like to share your story with Maloney, that would be fascinating, because we would actually love to read about your story. So if anyone wanted to get in contact with you, Maloney, what is the best way to contact you?
They can reach out to me via email. It's Maloney at realwomenofconstruction.com, and that's Meloni at realwomenofconstruction.com. And that's the best way to reach me. I return all my emails immediately, and I'm open to dialogue about women in construction and women issues in general. I think it's important for us to keep an open dialogue amongst each other so that we can dispel the misconceptions, get more women into these industries, and really evoke change. Change is slow, but I believe it's forthcoming, and this book will be out at the end of 2014. So 2014 is the year that we put this on the forefront and really get this movement going.
Great. We've actually interviewed someone who was putting books out that African Americans were making and creating a diary or a library, I should say, of African American literature. And I would love to get you in connection with him and just speak with them and see what's out there. You know, that's what NABWIC is all about, is connecting people together and connecting this women, African-American women in the construction industry, and what we can do for you and how we can connect you to other people. What do you hope to accomplish, Melanie, in life, in your book, and anything and everything that you would like to share with us?
I would like to definitely get the book out there and start doing more seminars with young women that are entering college, and also host job seminars, which I am hosting my first seminar where I'm going to speak about the book, and it's an open job seminar where I'm connecting contractors with women who are looking to get work into the trades. It's March 31st here in Atlanta, and it's sponsored by the Department of Labor and another women's construction organization here in Atlanta. So in the future, that's definitely where this book is leading me to. But just in my personal development, and you know, I said this in a couple of my interviews with the ladies that I've spoken with, is that this has been a big attribute of change within myself, because I was very, I think, introverted, never really reached out to women, never joined organizations, never spoke out about the plight of women in construction, black women in construction. And I've been meeting so many women that are enlightening to my life. So it's opened me up, made me more outgoing, and I'm looking to get involved with NABWIC. I've been speaking with Anne and Jasmine, and I'm so moved by the work that you all have done. So in the future, I know we're going to have some seminars together, hold some forums, get Atlanta NABWIC going, speaking that into existence, and, you know, just keep moving forward and advancing.
Yes, we welcome anyone who has the same goal as we do. We're a nonprofit organization looking to create profit for women in construction. You know, we are the voice of black women in construction and the architects of jobs and the builder of sustainable communities. And we hope to expand that vision more and more and more with a bigger network and with passionate people who have the same outlook and the same goal that we have. Now, being a woman in construction is very challenging, and I'm pretty sure you hear a lot of those challenges from the women in your book that you're writing. Now, do you think change can be accomplished in the promotion of gender equality?
I definitely think it can. I mean, look how far we've come within the past 50, 60 years. There's some people in, you know, the past couple of years that may have never worked with people of different races or ethnicities. So I don't think there's some job sites where there's men that have worked with only men for years, and when a woman comes onto the job site, it's an anomaly. They don't know how to interact.
Right.
I think that a lot of women have the misconception that they have to be one of the guys to advance in their career. I believe the opposite. I believe that differences are to be celebrated, that cultural differences and gender differences. We've gotten over the cultural ethnicities and race differences, and gender differences is shortly behind us as well. So, you know, I just think that it takes time. Change takes time. I think that we're in a good place right now. We need to keep moving forward. I do think that we need to start getting more women interested and involved in construction, because the one thing that contractors say when they're looked at because they don't have a lot of women working on their job sites is that no women have applied. There's no women that are interested.
Right.
There's something that we as women can do about that. We need to get the word out, apply, be interested. This is a great career. This, I mean, you can have a career path. You can become a project manager, a project executive. There's so many things that you can do. Reach out there. Don't let them use that as an excuse as
right.
to why the few women that are in construction are not getting promoted or they don't hire because no one's going out, reaching out, and wanting those jobs. So
I love that positive spin philosophy outlook on gender equality rather than seeing it as something that we're being repressed from getting involved in, but more so that when we do get into that industry that's predominantly male, how do we change the culture? And I would say that would be the responsibility of us as women, rather than waiting for them to change to accommodate to us. How do we go in there and teach them how to change in order to work with us? And it's a good topic that I think should be discussed. And for all the listeners out there, if you have a say on this, send us an email at blogtalk@nabwic.org. Again, that's blogtalk @nabwic.org. Would love to hear your opinion about that. If you have a question for Melanie as well, please also send us an email about that as well. If you are listening and you have a lot to say about that topic, you've researched that topic, you've experienced that topic, and there's something you're passionate about and speaking about that topic about how we as African-American women or just women in general, as a minority, a double minority, how can we get into an industry where we can not demand equality but teach equality? Send us an email, blogtalk@nabwic.org. We would love to get your opinion on that. And, Melanie, it's a wonderful spinoff or an outlook or an approach or to start marching in a direction that we should start marching in. So when we do get inside that industry, we are not fighting for a position. We're actually in the position and teaching everyone how to accept the change, because change,
exactly.
No matter what it is, whether it's about two different races, two different colors, there's always going to be some people holding back from accepting that change. So I'm really just taking in everything you just said, and I would love to run that approach and speak about that more on our show. Now, even saying that, you know, people would interpret certain action as sexism or even prejudice on a job, and there is that. I'm not denying that at all, but how did you handle it if you've experienced something like that?
Well, it's funny because I think that the blatant harassment is kind of a little taboo. Most people will shy away from blatantly committing sexual harassment. What I faced and what I'm facing in my career at this moment is glass ceiling. So I've plateaued out, and there are executive positions that I will not be up for because it's an unspoken rule, it's an unspoken sentiment that those positions are filled by men. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that's stifling, and that's a little point of underhanded sexism without being so blatant with it, is that, yes, we'll have women in these roles, we'll have women working for our companies, but they're only going to get but so far.
Right.
So in that, I still have to play the game, so to speak.
Right.
And I work harder than anybody there. So to me, regardless of whether or not they promote me to that executive position, there's no denying that I deserve it, that I'm working harder than anyone there. I don't let it discourage me. I feel like what I'm doing is what God has called me to do, and when he called me to do something else, that's what I'll be doing. So you have to learn how to not be content with mediocrity, but be content with life and knowing that you will get there. Whether you get there at the company that you're in right now or another company, I'll get there. So I just have to keep that positive outlook. You know, I can't, you know, walk around saying, woe is me, why? I'm further than a lot of women that have come mm-hmm. before me. So mm-hmm. we're making strides. Like I said, I know change is not going to be overnight, but I'm going to be a leader and make sure mm-hmm. that I'm doing what I need to do to continue to push forward and advance my own career.
Right. And one decade at a time, one year at a time, one day at a time, we are making stride and we are pushing ourselves to get in those executive positions or going out there and creating businesses and companies for ourselves. But the
exactly.
opportunities are out there, and we have to get creative and find those opportunities for within the company that we're working with or on our own. And that's why it's very important for us to have a strong network of women to hear other people's stories and what can be accomplished. You know, there's only if you're within a company for so long and there's constant pushback from you moving forward. This is all someone knows. And if you're in that
yeah.
environment for such a long time, it gets a little overbearing and it becomes your truth. So now with the network of women, we are all in the same boat, and to hear other women and their success stories just sort of brings up clarity and ambition again to move forward in certain directions. We have about, I would love, Melani, to keep going on and on and on with you. Would actually like to invite you again to our show to speak more about this topic, about your journey and about where you were, where you are now, and where you're going. A little bit really quick, what are your professional goals?
My professional goals would be to get my master's in engineering. I would eventually like to open up my own construction management, engineering, and architecture firm. I would like it to be all women-owned and operated. Mm. And that is my major goal at this point in time.
Okay.
But I did want to say that one thing that I believe to be true is that adversity builds character. So for all the women that are listening, just continue on your path. Adversity in any part of your life, it builds character. It does make you stronger. And I think that's one of the reasons why women who are actually in the trades, in the construction industry, do so well, is because they face that adversity and they know how to overcome. So I definitely appreciate you all allowing me to be on this show. I would love to come back at any time. Just let me know. I really do thank you all for having me.
No, thank you. We appreciate you being on the show. One more time, Melani at realwomanofconstruction@nabwic.org. You can email either one of these. You can send an email to either one of these addresses. To any topic, any idea, any questions that you have about what was just discussed, please send it there. Melani, again, we appreciate you being on our show. We'd love to have you on the show next time. For those of you who are listening, you were listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of women in construction and architect of jobs and builder of sustainable communities. Tweet it, Facebook it, Instagram it, whatever social network that you're on, spread the word, send it to all the women that you know, and we appreciate your time. Everyone, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.